Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. And it has already been such a blessing just being in the house of the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of John in chapter 8, John in chapter 8, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 12 this morning. John chapter 8. If you're able to, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Again, Lord God, we thank you for making available to each one that's here this opportunity to be in church. Thank you for what we've already received this morning. But I pray now, God, that you would help each one to open up their hearts and their minds to what you have for them through the preaching of thy word. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. This event in the life of the Lord Jesus is only recorded by the Apostle John. Holy Spirit of God led him to record this event for us to be able to learn from this, no doubt. A sinful woman was brought to Jesus by scribes and Pharisees. These would have been the religionists at the time. These would have been those that believed in a creator God but did not look to Jesus as being the Messiah. And so they were trying to find fault in him so that they could possibly have him arrested for blasphemy. Verse 6, it very clearly reveals that. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. That's what their plan was. That's what they wanted to do. And not having any concern for this woman, but using her, possibly set up the situation so they could find her in the very act to bring her to say, no question, she's guilty. Can I tell you this event in the life of Christ and what we have recorded here for us, it's not about these men. It would be all about this woman. This woman was living a life of darkness. Possibly her whole life was a life filled with darkness. I believe that we have this here to learn from, but Jesus wanted to give this woman an opportunity to change her life. The Bible says in verse 9 and 10 that, "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone." Jesus was left alone. I love this because it's between him and her and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. So now we find that it all comes down to this woman and the Savior of the world, the Messiah. He knew her life because he's God. He knew what family she was born into, what kind of influences that she was influenced by as a child, what led her to choose a life of sin. If you will, why she became a harlot. You'll not find Jesus giving an excuse for this sin at any point in this event. Because there is no excuse for sin. You've heard me say often that there's always reasons why people behave wrongly, but there's never an excuse for wrong behavior. There was a reason this woman had chose this lifestyle. And the reason was she was living a life of darkness. She was walking in darkness, possibly had been from the very beginning and how she was being raised. She was raised by in a home that was filled with darkness. By a mother, maybe single mother, maybe a dad was there, we don't know, but it was an environment of darkness. And as he knew her life, and he realized he wanted to give her an opportunity to change her life, he said in verse 11, "Neither do I condemn thee." No one else was there to condemn her. "Neither do I condemn thee. Go." Now, this is the beginning of the rest of your life right here. "And and sin, because what you have been doing is living a life of sin and living in darkness, no more. To sin no more is to stop walking in darkness. Because sin is darkness. We find in this passage of Scripture that he presented how she was supposed to do this. Many believe that this woman would have become one of his close followers. But how she would do this is outlined in this passage for us as well. Because if we're living in sin, can I tell you, we're living in darkness. And it's God's will for us to stop walking in darkness and to start living in the light. The first thing we find about this that Jesus wanted and had to make sure of this woman, she had to acknowledge her sin. Verse 3 through 5, this woman was taken in adultery. In the very act. Did she know what she was doing was wrong? What all was going on there? I don't know for sure. I know that Jesus knew her life. And she heard them say to Jesus, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. She now knows. According to God, according to the law of Moses, the Old Testament law, which represented an almighty God. According to God and his laws, what she was doing was sin. And sin is to be seen as darkness. And Jesus as the light of life. That's what this passage right here tells us. The first thing that this woman, if she had never have seen what she was doing, the life she was living was a life of darkness, and what she had been doing was sinning against an almighty God, she would not have changed her life. So how was she to stop walking in darkness and start living in the light? She had to acknowledge her sin. You see, this woman might not have associated what she was doing as sin. Now today we look at this, we read this and say, come on, preacher. How could she not know that the lifestyle that she was living was a lifestyle of sin and darkness? Look at our society today. Can you think, and most might even have family members, they're living in sin, and yet they will not acknowledge it as sin. They're walking in darkness, and yet they will not acknowledge it as being darkness. Especially in the 21st century. When people ought to be able to do whatever they want to do, whatever feels good. Live their life without conviction and restraint. I think if you just stop and think about that for a little bit here this morning, then you could see how this woman, being raised in a family that did not speak of God, would not have even understood the laws of Moses, but this was just a lifestyle. She was probably raised by a harlot. Had that influence in her life. But before she would stop, she would have to acknowledge it as being sin. One of the things we're seeing more and more of in our society here in America is the breakdown of the family. And the breakdown of the family will lead to a breakdown of the church from within, not from without, from within. And it will be a breakdown of society. Before someone will stop living and walking in darkness, they have to acknowledge it as being sin, and sin is darkness. The second thing, no doubt here, she now sees this as being, according to God, according to the Old Testament law, this is adultery, and according to the Old Testament law, this is sin. Had she heard that before? We don't know. I'm just saying that there was a possibility that she had never heard that before. And Jesus knew her life. He's not excusing her life, but he understands the reason that she chose that life. Well, the second thing that we find here is that she had to realize the consequences of that sin. The consequences of sin is very important, because that will be a key, play a key role in turning away from that, because I don't want to have to face the consequences of that sin. She would hear the consequence of her lifestyle, the consequence of her sin. She should be stoned. And I'm sure glad that we're not under the Old Testament law today. See, because under the Old Testament law, teenagers that would disrespect their parents, the parents could have them brought out into the middle of the street and have them stoned. I don't think that. Now, as we understand this, the Old Testament law was not perfect. It was not the way that God wanted it to be, but there was a purpose for the Old Testament law and how it was written. But it was to bring about a new covenant, a new and living way that Jesus was introducing. Amen. But they were still under the law. And under the law said she should be stoned. And now she knows it. And put yourself in her shoes. I'm going to be stoned for something that I didn't even realize it was against God. Something I didn't fully understand that it was against the Old Testament law. Because I have not been taught that. I'm just following in the ways of my parents. Just living the lifestyle that I was raised to live. This was the only way that I could make a living. In her mind. We don't know everything, all the background about this woman and why, what led her to live this kind of lifestyle, but we kind of can put things together here. And we know that Jesus knew what was taking place. And this was all about Jesus and this woman and an opportunity that she would have to turn her life around. See, as we understand the Bible, every one of us is born with a sin nature. No exceptions. The only one born without a sin nature was the only begotten. That means one of a kind, Son of God. He was not a son of Joseph or a son of man. Because of that, his blood was pure. He did not have a sin nature, because he was the only begotten Son of God. That's Jesus Christ. All of us were born with a sin nature. A sin nature leads to sin. And after this life is over, eternal hell. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we understand here that in the book of Romans in chapter 6 is talking about what's going to come after this life. The wages of sin, the payment for that sin, what you deserve because of your sin is death. That's eternal damnation. But if you turn to Jesus Christ, which is the light, and you turn to the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, which is the only thing that can wash away your sins. When you turn to him, then you can escape the damnations of hell, and you can have given to you a gift of everlasting life. That's an individual choice. As you and I had to make that choice, and hopefully you made the right choice, by looking to Jesus and confessing your sin and receiving that forgiveness, a gift of everlasting life, this woman would be put in a position where she would have to make that decision. And she would have the opportunity, praise the Lord, it's an opportunity to make the decision to receive the gift that God wants you to have. Not that you deserve it, but because of his grace and his mercy, he offers it. Isn't that good stuff? In this life, the sin nature leads to sinning, and after this life, the consequences, the payment, is eternal hell if you don't get saved. In this life, sin plays into the hand of Satan himself. Every sin that is committed plays right into the will and the ways of the devil to use against humanity to do the things that Jesus warned that he wanted to do to humanity. And that is to steal, to kill, and destroy. According to John chapter 10 and verse 10. That's the devil's plan. To steal. To steal anything that God wants you to have. Take away from you any of the blessings. Take away from you any of the peace. Any of the enjoyment. To kill. To keep you from ever having a life with Christ and a relationship with Jesus Christ, and destroy whatever that you might have today. He doesn't want you to have it. Sin plays into the hands of the devil to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says in the book of James in chapter 1, helps us to understand a little bit more about this sin. Let me just read this to you. Write these verses down. But James in chapter 1, familiar verses, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, sin nature. Then when lust hath conceived, you have yielded to it. It bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Then he would say in verse 21, wherefore, knowing this, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Because you receive the words of God, understand the consequences of that sin, what damage that sin is going to do in your life. You have a choice to make whether to turn away from that sin and avoid the consequences of that sin, or continue in the ways of that sin and allow the devil to steal, to kill, and destroy. Wow. Sin is very powerful. Every sin, any sin, is very powerful. If I continue to yield to a sinful thought, that will reap an act of sin. All sin, the battle of the mind. The battle, the most important battle, is what's going on inside of my head. What I yield to, what I accept, and what I reject. I have that ability to either choose to sin or to choose not to sin. God designed me that way. He designed you that way. Every one of us. And that's why we will give an account of ourselves. Because you are the only one that will determine the life that you live. Whether you yield to sin or you reject sin. That is part of the free will. That is part of how God designed us. So when I yield to that sin in my mind, it always begins in the mind. You have to nip it in the bud, or it will lead to an act of sin. If you continue in that act of sin, you'll reap a sinful habit. If you don't confess that lie as sin, then you will be continuing in that sin. You will eventually be a habitual liar. Or habitual whatever sin you want to put a name to. It will become a habitual sin. And if I don't stop there, if I don't confess and forsake it and get rid of it, that if I continue in a habitual sin, a habit of sin, I will reap a sinful addiction. To where it just automatically go there. It controls me instead of I controlling that. Whether it be drugs or alcohol or immorality or any sin. You can be addicted to any sin. If I continue in that addiction of sin, I'll reap a stronghold, which for the lost is demon possession. If you're saved, it's demon oppression, where that spirit has control of your mind. And if he's got control of your mind, he's got control of your life. All sin leads to darkness. This woman was walking in darkness, and she deserved to be stoned. She had to come to that place. Now she's there. She understands it According to the law of Moses, she has been living in sin. And now she understands, according to the God and the laws of Moses, the payment or the wage of this sin is death by stoning. First time she heard of it, I don't know. Can't tell you that. But I know she's hearing of it now. And if you were in her spot, I think that you would be scared to death thinking, they're going to stone me. Don't know what kind of fear. Don't know what kind of other thoughts she might have had. How can my parents have done this to me? No, that you can't excuse it by saying it's your parents' fault. You can't excuse it. You have to realize eventually it was your choice. The third thing she would need to do in order to stop walking in darkness, she needed to listen to Jesus. Amen. Jesus got rid of all the other voices. And now it's just her and Jesus. Praise the Lord. Someone who really cares. Someone who loves you more than you might even love yourself. Verse 10 and 11. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? I love that. He's saying what these men were doing was wrong. They set you up. They wanted to use you to get at me. What these men were doing was wrong, but you placed yourself in a position for this to happen. It was your sin. And sin played into their hands. If you had not have been living this kind of a lifestyle, they would not have been able to catch you in this lifestyle and bring you to me and try to use you to get to me. So even though these men were wrong in what they did, you were wrong in giving them an opportunity to put you in the position that you're in today. They have no right to condemn you. That's why they're not here. But your sin puts you in that position. Name any sin. Uncontrolled anger. You know what that sin can do? If left unchecked, if you continue to excuse it away because it's just the way I am. My dad couldn't control his temper, and my grandpa, my dad, whatever it might be. It's just who I am. You have to just accept it. No. The sin of uncontrolled anger plays into the hands of the devil, and he'll use that to destroy your life and your marriage and your children. And whose fault is it? The one who yielded to the sin and continues to yield to the sin of uncontrolled anger. Pride. A sin of pride. Can I tell you, sin is powerful. Sin, if left unchecked, will destroy your life because you have yielded to it and it's playing into the hands of the devil, and it's the devil's plan to steal, to kill, and to destroy. listen to Jesus. You're the only one that can stop it. You're the only one that can stop it. Go. Nope. He went on to say, neither do I condemn thee. I'm not here to judge you right now. I'm not here to condemn you right now. I'm here to deliver you out of your sin. I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost. I've come to give you the truth of the words of God. I've come to make it real to you. I've come to help you to understand what sin will do to you and to get you to turn away from it. And he says, go. Use this experience to change your life. When you leave this experience, allow it to be the first day of the rest of your life. Because you should have been stoned. They were right in helping you to see that the law, according to God and the law that he established, and under the law, you deserve to be stoned. God says that. You deserve eternal hell. God says that. God's offering you grace and mercy. God's offering you an opportunity to turn away from that lifestyle, turn away from that sin and walking in darkness, to live a life in the light. Go and sin no more. It's your choice. It's what you have to do for you. I'm given the opportunity to do it. As a young boy, I remember going to the store with my dad. After being in the store for a little while, we walked out of the store. And I remember taking some candy bars off the shelf and walking out of the store with them hid in my coat pockets, because I wanted some free candy bars. And in my mind, Dad should buy them, but he wouldn't buy them. No sense of asking, because I know he's not going to buy me these candy bars, but I want these candy bars, and he should have bought these for me, but since he will not, I'll just take them. And we were on the ride back home. I'm thinking, well, that was too easy. I've got my coat filled with free candy bars. And I got home and went upstairs, and my sister was up there, and I couldn't hold it in. Look what I've got. You know what she did? I'm telling Dad. Before I could even bribe her with half of it, you know, she takes off. And she runs down and she tells Dad, Danny was out there, he stole candy bars. My dad took me back to the store. And on the way back to the store, he told me that what I had done was broken the law. It's against the law to steal. And I'm taking you back because you stole from this store, and they could put you in jail if they wanted to. Now I'm thinking, for taking a candy bar? I remember crying. I remember begging Dad, Dad, I'll never do it again. Don't take me back. I don't want to go to jail. He got me there, and he went away, talked to whoever it was, the store manager. They brought the security guard in. I mean, I'm probably 9 years old. Security guard got out his handcuffs. I'm thinking, my life's over. I didn't know. I truly didn't know that I could go to jail. I realized I might get spanked. It was worth the risk. But it wasn't worth the risk of going to jail for the rest of my life. And after the security guard left me go in the with my dad, I got home and I got a spanking from my dad. But I remember thinking, I never want to put myself in that position ever again. As far as I know, I've never done that. As far as I want to confess to you, I've never done that. It wasn't my dad's fault. It wasn't the store's fault. I made the decision, based on what the law, I could have went to jail. You know, I look back on that, and I really do. I think that impacted me. That stuck in my mind, in my heart. That might have kept me from a life of thievery. Because when you get by with it, makes the next time a little easier. And the next time I continue that sin, even easier. Before you know it, I become a habitual thief. Because I like, human nature likes getting something for nothing. Sometimes we're willing even to risk to be able to get something for nothing. Sin is very powerful. It leads to a life of walking in darkness. After listening to Jesus, and I believe verse 12 goes right along, because this is what he would say after this encounter with this woman, then spake Jesus again, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me. If you're following Jesus, you know what you will not do? Sin. You can't follow him and continue to sin. In order to follow him, you have to give up that sin. You have to turn away from that sin because he's going in a different direction than darkness. If you're following him, you're following in the light. And in the light, there is no sin. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light, the presence of God in your life. But you have to make that choice. I believe this was a turning point in this woman's life. I believe she was one of the Marys that were there at the crucifixion that followed him from that point for the rest of her life. Stop allowing Satan to keep us in darkness through sin. And maybe today, go. And from this point, sin no more. If I could have every head bowed this morning. It's It's a decision everyone has to make for themselves. But you have to realize these things that Jesus wanted this lady to realize. You have to acknowledge sin. You have to understand the consequences to those sins. And you have to start listening to Jesus and following him. And you can stop walking in darkness. Father, we bow before you this morning and thank you, Lord God, for this event in the life of our Savior and for recording it for us to learn. And Lord, I don't know just how each one needs to apply it to their lives, but all of us need to have it applied. I pray that you would help us to make the decisions that need to be made today. In Jesus' name, amen.